This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman
on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Good evening, Bloomington. Happy Friday to you, the last Friday of April 2016. Jim Inman and David Pillar in the studio. How you doing, sir?
Nice Friday today, too. Pretty nice weather. I think we need to enjoy the sunshine, though, Jim. It doesn't look good. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
I know it. Glass and Chuck Crabb this morning had a lot of discussion about the athletics activities mm-hmm. this weekend and flipping things around and all of that other stuff. So we'll know that all of that is kind of up in the air right now. Check iuhoosiers.com, as we'll mention in a little bit. Good week, though, sir?
Yeah, can't beat it. Not bad at all.
Good.
No complaints.
Good. Excited to have a first-time guest in the studio in just a little bit, Amy McKeese. She is a local therapist and part of the commission for, I forget what the exact title is. As I lean forward and grab it here, the Commission on the Status of Children and Youth. She's a connection through Julie Warren, and May is Mental Health Awareness Month, so we're going to be talking with Amy in a little bit about kids and anxiety. Amy was in the studio earlier this week for a pre-recorded interview, so hopefully you all will enjoy that. We've got a packed schedule over the next several weeks as well, which we'll talk about throughout the hour. But the big news, of course, before we get into the news, have you voted yet?
I've not. I will this weekend.
Are you going to vote early?
Yeah, that Sunday, 12 to 6, is looking pretty prime. It's a good time to go down there and get that.
Well, we will be having live election coverage here on WGCL next Tuesday night, 7 to 10 p.m.
And who will be in charge of that?
Who will be in charge is not...
Who will be on the
there
microphone?
There you go. Myself and Keith Klein will be on the air for 3 hours at least. We'll see how the results turn out and all of that next Tuesday evening. As I shared with Mr. Pillar before he came into the studio a little bit ago, Keith was on the phone today talking with a variety of folks. And if you think that it is going to be a little bit heavy on the voter side this year in Indiana, well, you are right. Keith talked with William Ellis. He is with the Monroe County Republican Party. And Mr. Ellis said that there have been an average of 100 early voters a day in early voting. And on Friday today, they had 750 early voters. Hmm. Plus, the mail-in numbers are big. There have been an additional about 2,500 student registrations for the Monroe County primary. It's going to be a long, interesting night, not just in Monroe County, but across the state.
Yeah, I think it'll be this is the first time in a long time, and I'm sure you guys will cover this on Tuesday, but this is the first time in a long time where Indiana's mattered.
Right.
In a lot of ways, you know, Indiana's already an afterthought. They've had about 40 or 41 caucuses and primaries and such already. And Indiana's usually we have it's a little bit more clear cut who's going to be the winner. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, it is in the Democratic side. But in the Republican side, where there's still so much movement and so many things happening, Indiana's pretty key. And you saw earlier, this morning, or I guess it was yesterday or yesterday evening or this morning, that Mike Pence gave his
endorsement
to Ted Cruz. Mm-hmm. And obviously Coach Knight was all around the state, both in Indianapolis and Evansville with Donald Trump earlier in the week. So,
and we had Bernie Sanders in Bloomington
right.
on, what was it, Tuesday night,
right,
I think, Tuesday
right.
or Wednesday, so, at the auditorium.
Yeah, Kasich and Hillary haven't shown quite the connection to Indiana as well, but I think Hillary
was in
once.
The northern part of the state.
Yeah. But remember, Kasich said he was kind of bagging Indiana to go west. So
yeah, and I'm not sure that
see how that works,
how that will do for him. And it'll be very interesting. Indiana is the only primary next Tuesday, and if you haven't been able to tell as you listen to WGCL and watch the television and the newspapers, they are hitting the state hard, all of them.
Well, over $1 million each.
Woohoo!
In funding so far for commercials and such. It's pretty crazy.
It is, and it's nice to be thought about this time of the year from
absolutely.
All
flattering.
Of the candidates. So, Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. Check us out over there, and, of course, WGCLRadio.com as well. We're streaming over there 24/7. Going to take a break, come back with some local news for you all and the forecast for the weekend. Then again, in just a little bit, Amy McKeese will be joining us talking about kids and anxiety and all kinds of stuff as we go into Mental Health Awareness Month in May. Later on, we'll talk about Reds coverage as well as the first round of the NFL draft last evening. Did you watch any of it?
I did. I watched almost all of it. Yeah, it was good.
Okay. Plenty of that and much more. So stay with us. We'll be back in a couple minutes here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman and David Pillar with you, and a wet forecast for the weekend, sir.
Yeah, Jim, Friday night, a chance of showers before midnight, then showers likely after 2 a.m., cloudy, low around 53. Saturday, showers and a possible thunderstorm, widespread fog, so be careful out there in the morning, mainly between 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. for the rain. High near 66 tomorrow, then Saturday night, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Areas of fog, again, in the evening, otherwise, mostly cloudy, low around 56, and then Sunday, more rain. More thunder showers likely after 2 o'clock, mid-afternoon, later on into the day. Cloudy, high near 68. Next week, mostly sunny each day, but we're going to be right around the 60s. So mid-60s next week. Check all your weather all the time, WGCLradio.com.
There's big news on the local grocery scene this week as the most recent response to Blooming Food Co-op's financial hardships has come in the form of another closure of the Elm Heights store next month. The Grocery Co-op's Board of Directors and General Manager announced Tuesday night the Elm Heights location will close in May. It is located on East 2nd Street and opened in August of 2013. And the board decided to close the Elm Heights location after seeing significant underperformance since its opening. According to the Herald Times, the announcement comes after a series of money-saving measures, including the closure of the East Side Garden store that took place last summer. In addition to the Elm Heights closure, the co-op will move its commissary kitchen operations from South Washington Street to the East Side and near West Side stores later this year. According to a news release, both moves were made for financial reasons. The release stated that, quote, concern for co-op staff is a high priority for the organization at this time, and Blooming Foods could not guarantee that there would be no layoffs as a result of the closure and consolidation. For some co-op members, the news came about a week ago. According to the new general manager, about 125 owners who had invested capital in the Elm Heights project development were notified by mail last Friday. The manager, Alonghi, said, quote, members loaned us money in return for interest, and that interest is paid or accumulated, depending on how the notes were structured, to be paid back at some point in the future. And while the investment returns were originally scheduled to start coming due later in the fall of 2016, Alonghi said there will now likely be a delay in the repayment of those investing members. Blooming Foods, as many know, is owned by more than 12,000 members and has annual sales of approximately $18 million and employs more than 190 full and part-time workers.
What do you think?
I think that there's a combination of things there. I think that the new management indicates that there were some challenges before internally, and I think that's been well addressed in the newspaper and different things.
Yes.
Of course, the new store on the south side of Bloomington, Lucky's,
yep,
as part of that. And I think also that, no knock to any organization at all, but sometimes when you have to spend $6 for a half dozen of eggs that you can buy at a different store for 89 cents or $1.49,
that's right,
there is an economical difference in that, and it, yeah, can be major when you multiply that into bags of groceries.
That's right.
So
that's right.
I'm not knocking Buy Local at all. That's
exactly,
and they are a very good organization for what they do,
but
they are also a bit of a niche.
That's
as
right.
Well,
that's right. Okay.
So that's my editorial on
all
that.
All right. Well, that's exciting, Jim. Sears Hometown is looking to come into Bloomington with our big Sears store going out. Sears Hometown store, an offshoot of the Sears Holding Corporation, may join the Bloomington Appliance and Tool Market that the full line Sears store will soon leave. A month after Sears announced its plan to close the 51-year-old College Mall location in June, Sears Hometown Store has announced it is accepting applications from entrepreneurs and independent retailers interested in bringing the spinoff company's offerings to the greater Bloomington area. Separated from Sears Holding Corporation in 2012, the smaller store format already has 28 locations across the state and offers many of the same brand names and products as Sears. The closest Sears Hometown Store is in Bedford, on the John Williams Boulevard. There's a strip mall, Jim, right back there, I think, where
near Golden
Golden Corral is. Yeah,
yep,
exactly. Local owners are responsible for the startup and ongoing expenses of these Sears Hometown lines, including building or leasing a facility, providing in-store fixtures, hiring employees, and handling payroll and insurance. According to the news release, the Sears Authorized Hometown Store program is not a franchise program because Sears does not require an individual to purchase inventory or pay an annual licensing fee. Access to a Sears retail network, inventory, advertising, point of sale, computer system, delivery support, and training are all provided, as are brands such as Kenmore, Maytag, Whirlpool, Frigidaire, and GE. They offer lawn and garden equipment, Craftsman tools, mattresses, and fitness equipment, and offer customers access to most of the Sears.com inventory through in-stock kiosks. So I think it's a good idea.
Your turn. What do you think?
No, I think it's good. You know, I think having that extra option for some of those products, specifically, I think more than anything, Craftsman Tools sticks out as something that Sears is most known for. And Sears, if you've been through the one at the College Mall, it's just a tough market. It replicates so many things that are already there.
Right.
And a lot of folks, especially now, I would say in the younger demographics, just don't think of Sears when you think about going to get clothing or going to get shoes or going to get dress clothes. I think the days of ordering things from the Sears catalog and those sorts of things are something that you and I remember from probably our younger days, but probably has gone away.
Which is kind of ironic when you think about the fact that Sears started out as a mail order company.
Yeah.
Granted, 100 plus years ago, in a different time in the world, but that was what everything was. You ordered home kits if you built a house through a Sears package deal kind of thing.
Yep.
So,
and now here we are full circle with Amazon using drones to drop things off on people's porches. So I'm back to mail order again.
Still not too big of a fan of those,
yeah,
but that's another story. Out in Ellettsville, the town council plans to kickstart the process of adopting a public safety local option income tax next month. It's designed to bring in an additional $6.8 million in revenue, and they are working towards that by approving a resolution proposing that the income tax council adopt an ordinance establishing the tax rate. Public hearing on the resolution set for May 9th, 6:30 p.m. at the Ellettsville Fire Station. While the town council expressed support of the public safety local option income tax, that's a hard one to say, that occurred last month, the resolution is the second step in the process, according to town attorney Darla Brown. As a member of the County Income Tax Council, which is a statutory body comprised of the different fiscal bodies from around the county, Brown said if the town approves the resolution, adoption of the tax would be contingent on approval of similar resolutions from both the Monroe County and Bloomington Municipal Fiscal Bodies before it is taken to the tax council for consideration. That's a lot of big words saying that a smaller committee needs to approve it before it goes to the big committee, and away we go. Emergency dispatch operations could receive 30% of the revenue collected if the public safety local option income tax is adopted. And at 30%, dispatch operations could potentially receive just over $2 million towards the operation. So if you are an Ellettsville resident and have thoughts on that, May 9th, 6:30 at the Ellettsville Fire Station.
There you go. And Jason Moore has been named as Monroe County, or as Bloomington's next fire chief. Earlier this week, Mayor John Hamilton made that decision. Moore comes here from Charleston, South Carolina with a strong resume. He has worked as a firefighter, including in Afghanistan with the Air Force, and he has also a master's degree in business administration. The work in the field and the administrative background will work well together, assuming he has the personal leadership skills to motivate the people who work for him. If he's approved by the city council, which should be a formality after the interviewing and vetting process, he'll be on the job June 6th. That is from the HT's editorial staff. And also congratulations to a friend of the Glass Show, Adam Wason, former deputy mayor, now is the full-time director of public works. He was interim director of public works for about the last 4.5 months since the new year. And Adam has earned that position full-time starting now, probably.
That's exactly right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, local therapist Amy McKeese is going to be joining us. She's with the Commission on the Status of Children and Youth. Very good interview, I promise. So stay with us. We'll be back in a couple minutes here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back, everyone, to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here with you, and excited to have a first-time guest in the studio to talk about a very serious topic. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and our good friend Julie Warren, the Bloomington lady, as you all know here on WGCL, connected me with a friend of hers, a colleague. I guess, what would you call, you serve on the Commission on the Status of Children and Youth together. Is that right, Amy?
Yes.
Okay. So, Julie connected Amy and I through email, and we started talking. And so Amy McKeese is in the studio tonight. She is a licensed clinical social worker. She's a therapist in private practice for about 20 years or so, and primarily works with families and children. And wanted to have you on because, as I mentioned before, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And the commission in May is kind of focusing on anxiety in kids. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about the 101, if you will, of anxiety. What would, if someone asked you, as I'm doing right now, if someone asked you what anxiety is, how would you describe that in just the basic terms? Because I think everybody has a little bit of a different perception, so to speak, of what it, what the condition is.
Right. Well, when you think of anxiety, it's has overlap with fear, but fear is like a biological response to a threat that you have immediately. And anxiety is more of an anticipatory response where you're worried about something that may or may not happen, mm-hmm. that may or may not cause fear. And there's definitely overlap there. But the chronic anxiety can exist completely independent of the fear.
So there are different types of anxiety that a human being can experience.
Sure, sure.
Can you go through some of the different types?
Well, you could have just plain old regular anxiety that's fine. It's, mm-hmm. it's okay to be anxious about doing something new.
Being on the radio?
Being on the radio. I'm a little anxious right now.
You're good. You're good, I promise.
You can be anxious about a test, and that might make you study more mm-hmm. and then perform better.
I've often heard about separation anxiety. I have three Labradors at home. Fortunately, they don't go into that. They don't care when I leave or anything. But I know some people experience separation anxiety.
Yes, yes. About 4% of children do.
Really?
Yes, and it's pretty developmentally normal in little ones. Usually, like around 18 months, it peaks. Mm-hmm. But it becomes more of a problem when they're older, school age.
Sure. Well, I wonder if also you kind of have a sense, if you will, moms and dads don't like to send their kid off to the very first day of school. So if mom and dad are a little bit anxious about that, I'm sure that the four-year-old heading into preschool or into kindergarten for the very first day might be getting a little bit of that feeling as well, perhaps.
Sure. One of my favorite mantras to myself is let your calm be contagious.
Mm-hmm.
And I hesitate saying that about anxiety because I don't ever want to send out the message that parents are making their children have anxiety.
Right.
But there is something to, kids picking up on parental angst and anxiety.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that in recent years, we've had a lot of financial problems across the country and everything, which have impacted families. You go back even 15 years to the time of 9/11 and so on. And, you know, there's a lot of changes over the last 10, 15 years that people may not have felt when they were growing up. I mean, people my age in late 30s, early 40s, you kind of felt an economic boom, if you will. And I've got a financial background, so to speak. So when the experiences of 2008, 2009 hit, you're like, this is the first time I've ever had to really worry about job and home and retirement and all that other stuff. So sometimes that might be felt at home over the dinner table as well.
Well, sure. Yeah, the economics and family stressors, they're all tied in together.
Is it possible that, you and I talked about this in the break, does a child always know if something is off? And the example I used in the break was if a kid is always taught that the sky is green, they may not know any different. So is there some, I think you mentioned something about avoidance with that or something?
Well, yes, my point was that some people use the saying, well, I just don't like it, to avoid something that's scary. And mm-hmm. certainly it's fine if there are things that you don't like and you don't do. But if you're letting decisions be dictated by fear, then that's anxiety getting in the way.
Right.
So, it may be that a child is saying, I just don't like swimming.
Mm-hmm.
When they're actually experiencing anxiety about the swim lessons. And so that's a time that the parent could support the child in feeling those feelings of anxiety and then moving through them and overcoming them in order to find out that they really do enjoy swimming or at least going to the pool with their friends in the summer.
When someone talks about anxiety, are there outward signs that people have when they become anxious? Is it a cold or a sweaty palms thing? Is it a blood rush to the face? I mean, are there things that if you're having an anxiety attack, basically, are there signs and symptoms of those typically?
Well, a panic attack involves some very physical signs, you know, heart palpitations, your elevated pace, heart rate, and maybe shallow breathing. That's you know, in the movies when they have kids do the, or adults put the paper bag in front of their
face.
Yes.
Yep.
There's something to that, in that there's some kind of response to the CO2 air.
That's what I've heard. I've fortunately never had to do it, but yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, I didn't know if there were certain things. Well, what do you see when in working with families and kids? What triggers them to pick up the phone and call someone? Where's that when they say our child needs a little bit more help than what we can provide as parents?
I think, as with any mental health issue, it's when it impacts your daily functioning, when it makes it too hard to do things that you love, when it's making sleep difficult, or or even eating, or just
being
ready
a kid,
for school,
yeah.
Just getting through your life becomes difficult. That's when they call.
Okay. We're talking with Amy McKee. She is a therapist and a licensed clinical social worker here in Bloomington. As we mentioned at the start of the break, or right after the break, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And the Commission on the Status of Children and Youth, that's a city program that's not just focused on mental health, but really the entire spectrum of things that impact kids in our community, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we want to nurture and empower children and youth.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about some more things. There is a great flyer that we will put up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview, that talks about the typical childhood anxieties and what are some red flags that parents can look for. We'll also talk about options for children as well as parents about treatment and things like that. So we'll talk with Amy more when we get back from the break. Stay with us here on The Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here along with Amy McKeese. She's a therapist and licensed clinical social worker here in Bloomington, and she serves on the Commission on the Status of Children and Youth. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, as we mentioned, and anxiety is, well, we were talking in the break about mental illness in general. It kind of has a negative connotation, a stigma to it, if you will. But I think also that it's also becoming more recognized, at least across our country as well. Would you agree or disagree? Or
I think we are working really hard as a society to ease the stigma of mental illness. Mm-hmm. I think we've got a long way to go before people stop seeing mental illness as a weakness or some kind of character defect.
Right. Well, let's talk about, you know, if a child does have anxiety issues, if they do become anxious about things, and as we mentioned, you know, the parents pick up the phone and call you, call a therapist, call the school social worker, whatever the case may be. What are some options for kids today to deal with their anxiety?
Well, I think it depends on what exactly is going on. There's some great therapists here in Bloomington, and you would be primarily looking for someone who is trained in cognitive behavioral therapy for children.
Mm-hmm.
There are also some play techniques that can work with some forms of anxiety. I say that qualified because not with all.
And everything is a case-by-case basis. So please know, all of our listeners, we're giving a very general overview here. We're not prescribing a recipe of every situation is the same at all.
This is not medical advice.
Right, right. That's exactly right. Amy, are there things that parents can do at home if they believe that their child has some anxiety issues?
Absolutely. There's ways that you can help your child cope with anxiety and even develop tools so that as they get older, if they're dealing with anxiety, say when they're away at school or in their first job, that they can call on these tools and be able to help themselves.
Okay. Any examples of anything that they might try if somebody's listening tonight for the first time about this topic? Is it a conversation thing? Are there techniques, anything at all?
With younger kids, it can be play. It doesn't have to be conversation. Some games like just even like playing catch plays with the idea of separation and maintaining a connection even when you're separated.
Yeah.
And you can do that with a string too, with a little kid, where you might say, how close do we have to be? How long can this string be for you to be okay? And so you would have a string and you would let it get a little bit longer. And could I go over here with the string, or would you need me to come back? Or, and you can be playful about it in terms of, oh no, I don't ever want to let this string go. I want to have it wrapped tightly around you and stay super close. And if you make it playful, it gives the child power to cope with it, to feel the feelings, and then to move through it.
Is anxiety a treatable, or I shouldn't say a treatable, a curable condition, do you think? Is it something that kind of ebbs and flows as time goes on, or any thoughts about the longer term, if you will?
I think it really varies. It depends on what the specific type of anxiety and the level of severity is. I think most certainly you can find ways to cope with it and ways that it doesn't have to be problematic. So in that way, it's curable.
What about resources for parents? If someone is the parent, guardian, grandparent even of a child who suffers with anxiety, are there places that they can go? I mean, obviously everybody gets on the internet these days, but everything is on the internet, and not always is it true or the best option. So what would you recommend if someone's kind of entering this world, so to speak?
Right. Well, yes, that is true. There's a lot of information out there. You have a flyer that is available, and on that flyer there are some websites toward the end of it that
the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, Anxiety and Depression Association of America, and effectivechildtherapy.org, which helps to choose a therapist for a child.
Yes, those are some great starting points.
And we will put all these up at facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview and also on the podcast page at wgclradio.com. Are there local resources as well? Does the commission have anything at all that parents can look up, participate in? I don't know if there's group programs or anything at all like that as well.
I don't know if there are. I don't know what's available here. I know that there's some great therapists here in town and that there's some agencies that provide evidence-based therapy that accept, all clients, regardless of financial.
When you have a child dealing with anxiety and as they're starting to find the successes in life, so to speak, and the challenges that may be causing the anxiety or at least some type of catalyst for it, they're overcoming them. What would you say about rewarding those situations? And the reason I ask that is, I was reading something a day or two back about people paying money for good grades for their kids and the pros and cons of that. And I see the smile on your face. So I'm just curious if a reward system can be beneficial, so to speak. And again, we're talking higher level. We're not talking every case is the same kind of thing. But I'm just looking for your first thoughts on that, because I'm sure a family has asked that probably in talking with you.
I don't normally recommend reward systems.
Okay.
Because they tend to be punitive. They feel punitive to kids because it seems like, well, I'm not being punitive because I'm giving them something, but it's hanging over them that if I don't, swim that lap or make that A, then they're going to withhold that $5 bill from me, and I'm going to be really sad about that.
Right.
So in that way, it actually is punitive and creates a separation. So I'm not, each case is different, and it might be that you want to offer some reward just to get them to try something.
Sure. Okay.
But in general, I'm not a huge.
That's okay. There's no right or wrong in that question. I mean, I genuinely was just curious about your thoughts on that. So
and getting through anxiety mm-hmm. is pretty rewarding, right? During the break, I was talking about the habituation curve.
Oh, yes. I forgot to bring that up. Yes.
Right. It naturally, you know, when you get anxious or something scary is happening, your fear level, your anxiety level, it goes up. And naturally, it will start to reduce the longer you're exposed to whatever it is that's causing this fear.
Mm-hmm.
And that will happen. It's just biological. That's what happens. And so if you can stay with it and you can, you know, maybe do some deep breathing, that, you know, you can, there are tools that a therapist can give you or that you can find online, even at some of these sites,
mm-hmm.
that can help you, you know, survive that scary moment and then feeling the anxiety reduce, that is pretty darn rewarding in and of itself.
Absolutely. Good. Okay. Well, again, we're talking with Amy McKees, who is with the Commission on the Status of Children and Youth, which is part of a City of Bloomington program. And May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and I appreciate you coming on. This is a topic we haven't had before, and a lot of people, I think, will be tuned in, and I think you opened some doors and some eyes, for sure. I really do appreciate it.
Well, thank you. This has been fun.
Good, 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 good. Not too anxious to get through it at this point, right?
I was going to say, not too anxiety-provoking.
Good, 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 good. We're going to take a break and come back with more. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. All right, sir. It's sports time. What would you like to start with? I'll let you run the court.
Let's cover the easy stuff first. The Reds are on the radio tonight, right after mm-hmm. us. So, you know, as we said last time, we'll excuse Jim here in just a little bit, and he'll go back to the the training room and start getting the baseballs roughed up and scuffed up and get those delivered out to the pitchers. But 7:05, Red Legs and the Buccos tonight in Pittsburgh. Today and tomorrow, 7:05, and then back with you again Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday next week, 7:10 games at home against the San Francisco Giants and the Milwaukee Brewers.
But so, Tuesday night's game we will not have here because
right.
of election
it's on the
coverage.
List, but that's right, election coverage. That's so, right. All right, so we'll
special
have to scratch
preempt.
That. Yeah, preempted by Jim and Keith and
yes.
all of your election.
We'll give you some
so
score updates throughout the night.
That'll be good, too. I know you will. But anyway, yeah, the Reds are on the radio. Reds doing okay. Not terrible, but, you know, we knew the pitching was going to be rough, and the pitching has been rough. So anyway, but help is on the horizon. You know, Anthony DeSclafani and Homer Bailey both coming back from injury, and so should be infused back into that Reds rotation here before much longer. So some a little bit more experience, a little bit more strength at the top of the pitching rotation for the Reds. So that'll happen soon.
How are your Cubs? Can
Cubs
I ask
are,
you that later?
Yeah, Cubbies are rolling right along. Tied for the best record in baseball. Actually, I think we're near tied with the White Sox, actually. So, my goodness, Jim, an all-Chicago World Series, they would burn the place down again. Yeah, Cubby's doing well, and that's going fine. Even unfortunately, without Schwarber, it's you know.
Which, speaking of, has he had his surgery yet?
He did have the surgery, and supposedly all went well.
Good.
So, obviously, wish him well, but want him to return full strength. So,
yep.
We'll get him back. Hoosier baseball team on the field right now as we speak. With an impromptu doubleheader today mm-hmm. That started a little bit earlier this afternoon because of the rain that we're calling for tomorrow. They just could not see the benefit of trying to get the game in.
Chuck mentioned that this morning. They
right.
wanted to change things up.
Yeah, so anyway, doubleheader. So if you're listening to us on the radio, you can head out and probably catch the second game right now mm-hmm. over at Bart Kaufman Field. IU softball three-game set also this weekend. They have not, to the best of my knowledge, made a decision on what they're doing for tomorrow. So IUHoosiers.com will give you all the updates, all the schedules. Follow them on Twitter, wherever you get your information. But IU Hoosiers will have the best and most updated information on scheduling. But the Hoosier baseball team, again, 23-16, they were at one point, gosh, they were like 10-10 or 11-11 and have made a nice run. With sweeping Purdue always helps. Pacers, huge, huge game tonight. I don't know. I followed it on Twitter because I was out. I didn't get a chance to have it on the TV, but apparently the collapse the other night was epic.
Three solid quarters, and the last one
scored like 25-9 or something in the fourth quarter. Missed a bunch of shots, didn't take the ball out of the basket. And Solomon Hill hit a 3-pointer a tenth of a second after the clock expired. That did not count, obviously. And the Pacers had a chance to win Game 5 in Toronto, instead coming back to Indianapolis later on this evening. And they will have to take the Raptors out tonight and then go back to Toronto, I think, on Sunday to have a chance to get them again. So 7:30 start time on the Pacers tonight. And let's talk a little Colts football, Jim. Indianapolis Colts selected 18th overall last night. Ryan Kelly, center from Alabama. And so obviously coming from a pedigree program, national champion program, this kid, captain, starter, center on the offensive line. The Colts have had five centers since Andrew Luck has been drafted and has been playing for the Colts, and that's not good. The most starts by any of the five centers has been 10, and considering there are 16-game seasons, and I think Luck's played 3 years, 4 years now with us maybe?
3 or 4.
That's just terrible when you don't have any consistency. And you think about Jeff Saturday and what he meant to Peyton Manning. You know that relationship between the center and the quarterback is so critically important. It goes beyond having a good blocker.
The Indy Star had that quote on there, and I don't know who it was credited to, but saying that they now have a, quote, Jeff Saturday for Andrew Luck.
Well, that's a big
That's a big statement.
That is a very big statement to put on this kid's shoulders, because, you know, Saturday's going to be Hall of Famer and Ring of Honor and all that stuff like this. But anyway, it's a great pick. You know, it was the this is something else. And for a center, again, you're in the middle of the offensive line. You're calling out defenses. So you're really important for you to be able to recognize those things, pick up on those things, and lead the offensive line and communicate with your signals to the quarterback. This guy was the SEC All-Academic Player of the Year last year. So not only are you getting a first-round talent, you're getting a smart guy. And listen to this, Jim, 80-inch wingspan, 80 inches. That's pretty big. Generally, your wingspan is right around your height, and he's about 6'6" or 6'7", but his wingspan is even a couple inches
farther
than that. What
they do? Put him on
a
stretching machine? Is he 14-year-old or something?
I have no idea, but I'm glad he's with the Colts, and so that's good. But top of the draft, the L.A. Rams, L.A., Jim, Los Angeles Rams football back in Los Angeles for the first time in over 20 years. The St. Louis Rams head west to Los Angeles. Selected Jared Goff, quarterback from Cal. Philadelphia Eagles traded up as well. Picked Carson Wentz, quarterback from North Dakota State. Highest selected 1AA player or football subdivision player and maybe ever. And then a couple Buckeyes with Joey Bosa going to the Chargers. And Ezekiel Elliott, Jim, Dallas Cowboys picked Ezekiel Elliott. Did you see his picture on Twitter or Facebook?
Was this the one in the 1940s face mask, if you will?
No.
It was not a 1940s face mask?
Different one. This one, Ezekiel Elliott had kind of a blue, powder blue, seersucker blue sport coat, that's... but underneath had a dress shirt that was cut off. That turned into a crop top, basically. So it was a bare midriff dress shirt with a blue, light blue, powder blue seersucker jacket.
Really?
It was an absolute mess, to say the least.
Did our Minister of Culture on the female side approve of this? Did your wife have any comments on that?
She couldn't even look at it. She is the fashion expert for the Bloomington Review, and it did not meet her criteria, to say the least. Anyway, a couple more Buckeyes went later. Eli Apple and Taylor Decker, some names that might be familiar to some Big Ten fans. Jason Spriggs, offensive tackle for the Hoosiers, did not get selected in the first round. They thought there was a chance that he could break up a near 20-year streak, or not 20, about 12, 14-year streak of first-round droughts for the Hoosiers. But he will go quick, I would say, tonight. And certainly probably one of the better offensive linemen are left out there. Derrick Henry, running back from Alabama, is out there. Miles Jack, an outstanding linebacker from UCLA who had a pretty bad knee injury, has slipped all the way out of the first round. And then Nate Sudfeld, maybe, just maybe, he'll get a chance. Jordan Howard, running back that transferred from UAB to IU, he'll likely be picked in the middle of the draft as well. But the other big news, the one you were talking about, was Laramie Tunsil, offensive tackle from Ole Miss, had an interesting night. About 10 minutes before the draft went live, supposedly his social media accounts were hacked.
Right.
And there was a picture of him wearing an old school gas mask with a bong doing marijuana, or, you know, smoking pot.
Mm-hmm.
And then to top it off, after he slipped all the way from maybe going as high as third or fourth, he was slipped all the way down to 13, which doesn't seem like a big deal, but it's attached to millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Later, after he was doing an onstage interview, he admitted to accepting money from an assistant coach at Ole Miss,
something about his rent,
to help
or something,
pay for his mom's electric bill. So it went from bad to worse for this young man, and we'll see what happens with him. You know, Miami Dolphins first-year head coach Adam Gase is down there. They already have Ndamukong Suh, who's pretty well known to be a wild card as well. So lots happening there. But anyway, Paxton Lynch is a name that you may want to get to know. 6'7 quarterback from Memphis was selected at the end of the first round by the Denver Broncos. So he could be the next Peyton Manning, the next Brock Osweiler, the next John Elway. Who knows? But he's quarterback.
All right. Let's take a break and wrap up the show. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Just a couple of minutes left in the program. Thanks again to Amy McKees for joining us earlier in the show. We'll put all of her information and the links to the different websites that we mentioned in the interview at facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview and also WGCLRadio.com. That'll go up on the podcast page by noon on Saturday. Forecast for the weekend, sir.
Friday, chance of showers tonight around midnight, then showers likely after 2 a.m. Cloudy, low around 53 this weekend, Jim. Showers, possible thunderstorms both days, all day. Temperatures kind of getting into the mid to high 60s, but stay tuned to WGCLRadio.com and check the radar for your rain and all your weather all the time, as always.
Next week on the show, Sarah Peden will be on the program. She's been on in the past. Her daughter lives with Prader-Willi syndrome. It's kind of an interesting and genetic disorder that Sarah will be talking about. May is Prader-Willi Syndrome Awareness Month. And then later on throughout the month of May, Sonia Pruitt from IU Health will be on talking about Stroke Awareness Month. May is a month of months, apparently.
Yeah.
My buddy Craig Hickman from ProBlue will be on talking about internet safety. Indiana State Police Trooper Kent Rolfing will be back on the show the end of the month. And then the Bloomington Lady Julie Warren the first weekend of June. Don't forget also Tuesday night, 7 to 10, live election coverage. Myself and Keith Klein here on WGCL Radio. And next weekend, IU graduation.
Yes.
Move outs.
Get out of town. Don't plan on having dinner.
Away.
Just go north at 45 miles an hour and get out of here.
That's exactly right. Right. And then you have Tuesday off for Election Day.
MCCSC, you're off Monday and Tuesday. So MCCSC schools, no Monday, no Tuesday. Go vote, people. And congratulations to the Cougs. Forgot to mention them. Bloomington North swept the Battle of the Bypass girls softball and boys baseball victorious on Thursday.
Awesome. Mr. Pillar is right. Get out and vote. You've got time to do it. Tune in Tuesday night at 7 o'clock for all the coverage. Have a good weekend, sir.
You too.
All right. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.